and welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. I hope that you were all able to tune in for our first hour. I will admit that it was kind of a packed first hour. I felt like I had many more things I wanted to get than I could, but I was grateful to have Ronen Chaval, a Knesset candidate in Israel, talk to us about how it feels to be next door to Iran and looking at the danger that Iran presents with its potential creation of nuclear weapons and watching America not be so much of an ally as it used to be. And then also grateful that Carly Fiorina called in. And they kind of both touched on the basic subject that, you know, the world is looking right now for leadership, for strong leadership, and looking for leaders who can not just threaten military action, but really articulate what it is that should be the goal of America, should be the goal of America's politicians, and you know, what is it, what steps we take to make a stronger world that protects liberty, that protects people. So we're going to be coming up very, very shortly, as we all know, on the presidential elections. It seems like they've already started. So they have started. So we're looking on the conservative side at many different candidates. And so we're in our second hour. Ladies, can we talk? We have our ladies roundtable. So I want to say hello to Lori Medina.
Hi there.
Hi there. And Carrie Kellerman.
Good evening.
Good evening. We're going to go all formal on this. Well, anyway, we try to talk politics. And in this first segment, we just wanted to talk about, I was really curious because I did the interview with Carly a couple of days ago. Y'all hadn't heard that, I guess. So I don't know what either you thought about it and how do we compare it with other candidates? And what do you think?
I thought it was a fabulous interview. I mean, I think she really stepped up and gave some real concrete answers about her stance and, you know, what she thinks about Hillary and what she's doing, what she's thinking about what's going on the world stage. I think she's got a really unique voice right now, specifically not getting into, you know, gender politics or anything, but specifically because that she is a woman. And because she is not scared of taking Hillary on directly. And that, to me, is exciting that a woman is doing that right now.
I love Carly. I got a chance to hear her speak when she was in Dallas last fall at some luncheon. I don't even remember. But she was able to make some complex ideas very simple. She's a very articulate woman. She was talking about business regulations and how big corporations can handle them. But when the government dumps a pile of regulations on a mom and pop and they don't have the staff to wade through it, how it can just absolutely kill small business, which is more than half of the companies in our country that make up our tax force.
Yeah. So, and our job creators are,
I think 53% or something come from small businesses, 50 or less.
Yeah.
And so she just has a real clear way of thinking and speaking and making complex ideas simple to understand.
Yeah. I like that she was obviously the first female CEO of Hewlett Packard. That's a big, big, big company to be coming from. So it's kind of cool that she could
not just that, but didn't she start out as like a receptionist?
Oh yeah. File clerk. Secretary. Yeah, exactly.
While she was in college, right, she started working there as a receptionist, and just she's seen every level at that company,
at AT&T,
all the way up to the top. And so I just really appreciate where she's come from and her perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I will say, because I guess a lot of you listening probably know this, but I'm a pretty active conservative activist in Dallas and North Texas. And I've had a few people say, hey, so this means you're backing Carly for president? Like, you know, make a big deal, have her on your show. But I would have any of the candidates on my show like to be on. But actually, you know, I think that I like the idea of having all the different voices out there talking about what challenges America has, how much we're concerned about, what we should do about them. I mean, I want to kind of appreciate all of them because there's a kind of a dearth of national leadership in our party.
There is. There's a vacuum out there.
Absolutely. I mean, really, if you look at who's leading the party, it should be Mitch McConnell and Boehner. You know, they should be the standard bearers for Republican land and you know, for conservatism. But we know they have completely abdicated those roles. And so because of them being missing in action, basically we have this vacuum. And right now, because we're coming up on the election in 2016, and because Jeb really kind of pushed everything and made everything
Jeb
start.
Jeb Bush
really kind of started everything very early. We're starting probably more early than normal, but we've got a huge group of people running that are potentially going to run for the Republican presidential nominee. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different voices with a lot of different experiences, a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different beliefs, a lot of different positions on issues. And I'm happy to say that I think there's a lot of them that are pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited about it for the first time in a long time.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'd have to say that there are many political analysts that are a lot smarter than I am that have said since Reagan, we have stopped teaching conservatism. We've stopped talking about it. We stopped explaining it. We stopped illustrating it. We stopped showing it to the American people. And it's more important now than ever because our educational systems aren't doing it. In fact, they're rewriting history. So if it's not us, then who? And our candidates, I don't care how many there are right now. Eventually, we need to settle on one. But every voice is important. Every angle at which they can shape the conservative message, explain it to the American people. The way Carly says it might make a light bulb go off with certain people. The way Scott Walker says it might make another group of people go, oh, okay, I get it now. Every voice right now, I think, is very, very important and needs to be heard. And favorites or not, I think it's important that we encourage as many voices and that we reward the voices that agree with the conservative message, not only to the person speaking it, but to share that message with those we have influence with as well.
Yeah, you know, the 2 points I want to go off from what you said. One is how deep the Republican bench mm-hmm. is this time. Yep. I mean, the number of people who are actually serious candidates and would be taken seriously by the electorate mm-hmm. is kind of stunning. Yeah. And, you know, it's very different from that. I mean, Hillary is floundering. We're going to talk in the next segment or a couple of segments away about Hillary and her emails. Yes, the next mm-hmm. segment. And how this has really tainted the apparent front runner, the heir apparent on the Democrat side. So they don't have a very deep bench right now. They have just a few who will step up if Hillary steps out or is knocked out. They have Elizabeth Warren, who's a clear socialist, far more peppy in her delivery, but a nearly avowed socialist.
But what millennial knows who she is?
She
has so little name recognition except for political junkies and people in her part of the country. It's like the bench comes from a basketball analogy. It's like for the Democrats, their LeBron James is about to retire. So who's going to step up? They don't have anybody sitting on their bench that anybody knows anything about.
Hey, what about Joe Biden? Are you picking on poor Joe Biden?
What age would he be even? I mean, the guy is ancient. I mean, he's the damaged goods at this point for even the Democrats.
Oh, I'd choose him. I mean, as their candidate, if I got to tell them, because he's kind of a bumbling silliness. I mean, he's not.
Well, now
serious.
He's just creepy. Now that he's grabbing women and speaking in their ear, creepy. He's just a creepy old uncle at this point.
Yeah. But we're talking about why. Lori had a point earlier about why the Republican bench is so big.
Well, I think the reason why we've got such a deep bench is because we have been winning so big in these off-presidential year elections.
Yep.
And so we've taken over the state houses, you know, in all these states across the country. We've taken over statewide elected officials. We're starting to elect some, you know, pretty interesting congressmen and women. We're starting to elect some really, really fantastic senators.
And governors.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the thing is we're developing that bench. And in these off-year elections, this is when the Democrats, this is when they lose big. And that's the time when they need to be building their bench, and they're not.
Well, name a Democratic governor.
O'Malley. It's true. O'Malley. That's Maryland governor. O'Malley. Is
but
Martin
he's not
O'Malley.
Even he's not right. even currently a governor.
Right.
But he is looking at running. You know, it's interesting. We were talking too about to mix a sports analogy. We have better training camps because we have to mix baseball and then we have
or
better
as
training
Obama
camps.
Would put it JV team.
Our JV team is pretty good. But you know, I also want to on the subject of this broad. I did in the last election cycle kind of get tired of how many people sit in the Republican side too long. So while I do agree with the voice out there hearing all these voices, I want us to gel around a conservative before too long. And the other thing I would say about it, and you know, I was using the analogy earlier, using the yeah but expression, but what happens in politics is somebody or many people on the conservative side will choose a candidate and they'll say, gee, I'm behind, you know, Carrie Kellerman. I'm really for Carrie Kellerman for president. And so you say, yeah, but what about, and you mention somebody else. And what people tend to do is they latch on to their choice and then every other candidate that exists out there there, they say, oh, but not him, because yeah, but he did this. Yeah, but she did that. Yeah, but. And so they run down every other choice. And as that happens vocally and around the country, you really hurt those other potential candidates who might end up being our primary winners. So I have a hard time with this, because there are some on the short list for president that I would really have to hold my nose to vote for in the general election. But
well,
it's
a hard
mix.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is, though, is that each one of these men are one woman that are potential candidates. You've got to understand, they are connecting with a very specific part of the electorate. And eventually, we're going to need all parts of the GOP electorate to come together to defeat a Democrat. And if on our side, if we are continually talking trash, running down, being disrespectful, being rude of other candidates, maybe that aren't our top people, ultimately, what we're doing is we're driving those future voters, those future activists, we're driving them away.
And we're perpetuating a negative message that may get repeated. Because we're trying to stay on a good schedule this time, not go too long, like I always tend to do. So this is Debbie Georgiatis, Carrie Kellerman, Lori Medina, Ladies Community Talk. Come on back after our break, and we'll talk more about America.
660 AM, The Answer. 660 AM, TheAnswer.com. Dennis Prager is skeptical of Hillary Clinton overall.
It's baloney. It's just fraudulent. She wanted to hide what she was doing so that there was no trail.
That's it. That's the reason.
Everybody knows that, except the people who don't want to acknowledge it, because for reasons that evade me and elude me, they find her tremendously attractive as a potential president of the United States.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sean Hannity at 2 on 660 AM, The Answer.
We will all be hearing a lot about pay equity for women over the next couple of years. Turns out, when you put together two big studies recently done, one by the Fraser Institute, a Canadian free market think tank, and the other one, the United Nations Human Development Report, it turns out, for gender equality, you can't beat capitalism, free markets. Women in economically freer countries hold more elected seats in government, have longer life expectancies, achieve higher education levels, and earn higher incomes than do women in less economically free countries. And this is true whether the country is a rich country or a poor country. So the next time you hear a politician say, "I support pay equity for women," jump up and down and say, "Great, this means you're going to stay out of the economy. This means you will not mandate paid maternity leave, paid sick leave, and other government meddling in the free market economy." This is Debbie Georgiatis, and ladies, can we talk?
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services' term life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, on cholesterol medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $22 a month.
Call 1-800-600-1582 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-600-1582. 1-800-600-1582. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
I'm Steve Sitkowski, a former Wall Street insider. I'm holding a book that will show you investing strategies which could help you earn the kind of money you've always dreamed about. And right now, I'm giving this book away for free. So who needs to read it? If you're in the middle of your career and worry you'll never have enough money to retire, you need to read this book. If you're already retired and your income isn't enough, you need to read this book. And if you don't want to be selling burgers at 80, you need to read this free book. It includes the strategy I use to make a 72% profit on a trade where the stock only moved 12%. You'll need at least $1 million to ever fully retire. If you're behind on that goal, you really need to read Trade Like the Pros. And you can for free by calling 1-800-700-2114. Skeptical that it will deliver results? It's a free book, so what do you have to lose? Find out how at 1-800-700-2114. 1-800-700-2114. 2114.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts. Don't miss this limited time offer. We're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. Call 800-489-1569. That's 800-489-1569.
Learn a little something at the start of your day. The Mark Davis Show. Mornings 7 to 10 on 660 AM. The Answer.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM. The Answer.
Hey there, as they say in the South. I love that expression. Welcome back, Ladies Can We Talk. We're in our happy second hour with my my leading ladies joining me. We have our roundtable, and we are starting something where each different person takes a shot at leading a discussion, some issue that caught their heart. But before we turn to Lori, who's going to take it on this segment, Carrie was going to finish one other point about in the last segment. We were talking about kind of the whole role of the primaries and all the people talking about being presidential contenders and kind of the best thing for America and how we deal with them or how we listen to them.
Right. When it comes to the GOP candidate field at this point in time, I think it's important for conservatives to be more loyal to the message than to a particular messenger at this point in time. I think that message of government not being the solution to every problem, smaller government, leaner government, more responsible, transparent government, that just needs to be embraced no matter who's saying it at this point in time, because the message needs to get out no matter who's speaking it.
I love that. Yeah.
But I wanted to say about the Democrats, I think they're getting a little too enthusiastic about their environmentalism because they're starting to recycle their politicians.
Okay.
I mean, if you're looking back at Jerry Brown and Hillary Clinton, then you can't really call yourself progressive.
Okay. Jerry Brown's the one. I'd pick him even over Biden. He'd be even better for us.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Lori, you were going to take it away.
Okay. So, tonight's segment is going to be on Hillary and Emailgate. Well, I guess you could almost just say Hillary Gate, just because Hillary herself is a scandal, right? She is scandalous. So I wanted to back up for our listeners and just talk, just review kind of what's happened with this whole thing for a few minutes, and then talk about what's transpired over the last few days. A few days ago, Hillary said, okay, I'll have a press conference. So she announced, I want to say like in the evening or something, she said, okay, tomorrow I will hold a press conference at, guess where? The UN. Well, interestingly enough, why she chose the UN, because, you know, she's not a UN ambassador. She's not Secretary of State anymore. Why should she hold it at the UN? Well, I can tell you why, listeners. It's because to have a press credential at the UN, you have to apply for one 24 hours in advance. And so this did not give any media people enough time to participate. So only...
So Clinton-esque.
Oh, absolutely. So people, only media people that were like, this was their regular beat, the UN, were the ones there. So they weren't people that were like sharp on, down deep into this issue of the whole, email, server gate, whatever. So that was first thing. Second thing, when I was watching it, don't you love it when you watch somebody talk and their eyes move all around the room? They're looking at everything but the person they're talking to. They're like looking down. They're looking up. Her body language screamed that she was telling a lie. I mean, it just, for me, I'm not a body language expert, but I am a mom.
Close enough, yeah.
I am a mom. And, it just screamed that she was not being truthful. And then this other thing that just grabbed me about this whole deal was, she reveals the fact that she has been, that she has servers in her basement at her Westchester home. And they've been protected by the Secret Service, so therefore they're protected, which last time I checked, hackers don't need to physically grab a server. They use technology and this thing called the internet to, to steal and encrypt things. So so she said that. But the killer thing for me, and I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm a girl, but anyway, she said that there were a total of 60,000 30,000 emails, and that 30,000 of them, oh, well, they're just nothing you would ever be interested in because they were all personal. They had to do with her yoga classes and Chelsea's wedding and her poor mother dying. And so 30,000 emails had to do with personal matters, and it was those three subjects.
I've helped coordinate a wedding, and I didn't get close to 30,000 emails.
So, ladies, I mean, so I figured that out. Basically, that would come to around 1,000 emails, personal emails a month that she would be sending. Now, okay, I know we all like to talk, and I know we like to send emails to our friends, and I know sometimes we pass on funny jokes to our friends even, but, you know, do we send 1,000 personal emails a month? That, I mean, that's just, no. It's so preposterous.
Everyone's texting these days anyway. Who does email?
Exactly. So, okay. So, anyway, the bottom line is with this press conference that she had, you didn't have to go, like, be some big investigative journalist to figure out that she was being completely untruthful about so much that she was talking about. I mean, it was immediately things were coming out that she had even, claimed differently just even a few weeks ago. So, since then, there's been a whole onslaught of stuff that's happened since that press conference. She has, she said, you can't have the server. The servers belong to me. They're private. So too bad, so sad, basically, you know, Benghazi committee. And but since then, it's come out that, interestingly, is that Valerie Jarrett, yes, the same Valerie Jarrett that works for Obama in the White House, that she's the one that leaked the information to the press about this server. And so there's so many layers of this. It's just, it's really ridiculous. But again, it just points to the fact that Hillary is not capable of being our chief executive. So my question is, Debbie, why are the Democrats so desperate to defend Hillary?
You know, I have to say, there are women's groups. There are Run Hillary Run. There's the, there are three or four of them, different PACs all around Hillary. And I want to say to women out there, I'd love to have a woman president too. I think women are just as capable and competent and all that as men are. But I really think right now, if you're in one of those groups and you see the character, the lack of character being revealed by this whole email episode, I just don't know why we want to, women especially, why do we want to keep on being Hillary's tools and fools? It's like we're her, women are supposed to be, because she's a woman and she's held a job as Secretary of State, albeit the world's far worse off since her time there. But I think there are people who, in the party, who had so long viewed her as the heir apparent, yep, the one that's going to take it, that they feel unsettled and unsure what to do if she doesn't get the job. But I will say also, Maureen Dowd, you know, liberal, iconic Washington or New York Times, totally obnoxious liberal, mm-hmm, has just lit into Hillary twice recently. Her column again yesterday was on the same point. She actually has several funny lines in this, but she basically says, oh, her whole column this week is called An Open Letter to HDR22, which is Hillary, at ClintonEmail.com. And she basically signs off a letter from the American people saying, we're tired of your antics. We're tired of apologizing for you. We're embarrassed by you. She says, we're writing to bring to your attention two features of our democracy: the importance of preserving historical records and the ill-advised gluttony is good, yeah. And the ill-advised gluttony of an American feminist icon wallowing in regressive Middle Eastern states payola. That last part, what she's talking about, mm-hmm, is made all that money, a Clinton, mm-hmm, Foundation taking money from countries that are treat women horribly. So the left is turning on her a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe. I hope so. They're
going to
keep it up.
No, she's got her defenders because, you know, James Carville, her old buddy, was on one of the morning shows this morning. And he postulated. And I'm sure it was something that her and Hillary cooked up. But Carville said, I suspect Hillary didn't want Louis Gohmert rifling through her emails. And so that's the latest thing. So thanks, Louis.
I think heir apparent is kind of the wrong phrase to use for Hillary, because I picture someone ascending, but it's more like, well, gee, isn't it her turn, poor girl? More.
Yes, there is a lot of that.
Throw her a bone. Like, she put up with Bill for all these years, so throw the girl a bone. I don't see an heir, you know, like somebody rising to their place of rightful leadership.
Yes.
I got a question for Carrie. So do you think the Republicans' chances are better if Hillary is the Democratic candidate, or if it's somebody else?
If you're a Democrat out there listening right now, please make Hillary your nominee. Please, I beg you, run her. Run her.
I agree.
Yeah, she's really, it's like she's past her time. And I think there is a feeling among some women of sympathy for her because she's put up a bill all these years. She's made a fool of her in public. But I have to say, I am sorry for women whose men, whose husbands are not loyal. I do think that's terribly sad. But at some point, you do have to hold the woman accountable. This has been true since before they were married. There was a story when they were engaged. Well, she caught him with somebody.
Isn't that part of the feminist message? Is don't put up with it? Why has she put up with it all these years?
Right, because it's a power.
Has
team.
She submitted?
No.
I mean, come on! Isn't that what she's been doing?
It.
She submitted to Bill,
yes,
a philandering husband.
Obviously,
and I want to say though too, I have seen a few "Run Hillary Run" bumper stickers right here in Texas. However, they have been on the front bumper of the car.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Explain your joke. Go ahead.
The front bumper. Run Hillary Run.
Okay.
Eric got it. Thanks, Eric.
I just think that for a lot of people that went through the 90s and all the mess of the 90s, and it seems like there was scandal after scandal after scandal that would involve Bill and Hillary, that it seems like they would always get away with it. And I just think a lot of people, though, a lot of Republicans are scared to death of Hillary because they saw how they got away with everything in the 90s and they shouldn't have.
Was Bill that got away with things in the 90s, not his wife.
Different. I agree.
You remember when she
her.
Tried to put a health care bill out there and it got shut down? And everybody said she wasn't elected?
Well, she's had Travelgate. She had the FBI files that she took.
Rose Law Firm records.
The cattle futures.
Man,
tons
you know,
of
this,
stuff.
I actually think we may be at the point
she has
where
more
there's
baggage
just kinda,
than American Airlines.
Yeah, yuck, yuck. Okay, Kara's full of jokes tonight. Okay, on a serious note, we are up against a break again, but I do want to say I really think this may be the time that Americans say, you know, enough of this, Clinton. We have Clinton fatigue, scandal fatigue. We're done with you.
Yep.
I hope so. Debbie Georges, Ladies Can We Talk, along with Lori Medina, Carrie Kellerman. Come on back after the break.
Can listen on the go. Find us on iHeartRadio. 660 AM, The Answer.
Abolish the IRS. Well, sounds like a pipe dream, a phony rallying cry that politicians love to use, but they never act on it. But really, hasn't the time come to get serious about abolishing the IRS and replacing our convoluted income tax code with something like a fair tax or flat tax? Common sense is starting to scream from the rooftops. The way the IRS has behaved in targeting conservatives, stonewalling congressional investigations, having lead IRS officials taking the fifth, and generally conveying a mind-blowing, out-of-control arrogance, says it's time to shut down this government agency. This kind of action is what is known as taking back our country. Debbie Georgiadis here, your host on Ladies Can We Talk, from Sunday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m., on my show, we talk truth about America, and we talk about what can be done to truly take back the country. I hope you'll join me in the fight.
Hey, it's Mark Davis. Thank you so much to those who have already signed on to help us at Food for the Poor and their Food for a Year Water for Life program. One-time gift of $50 gives a child, a starving child in Haiti or Guatemala, food for a year and helps pay for water that can keep them alive forever because they're currently not even going to school because they're having to tote water from a lake 5 miles away. This is no way to live. It's poverty like we'll never see in America, one would hope. But right now it exists and there's something we can do about it. Your one-time gift of $50 saves a kid's life for a year with Food for a Year and Water for Life. 250, 5 kids. 500, 10 kids. Go 1,000, we'll do something very special for you. Co-host The Mark Davis Show with me, 9 o'clock hour, or we'll go to lunch anywhere you want. Phone number is 855-916-HOPE, 855-916-HOPE. 250 gets you Celebrate Freedom concert passes, 855-916-HOPE, or pound 250, say the keyword Mark Davis. Pound 250, then say the keyword Mark Davis, or 855-916-HOPE.
Are you a homeowner, property owner, or investor? Property taxes are now past due, and with fees, interest, and penalties added monthly, the more you delay, the more you pay. Relax, help is here. Call Texas Property Tax Loans, 972-535-5646. We have competitive rates and terms to fit all budgets. We don't check credit and require only minimal documentation. We approve most loans over the phone, and we fund fast. Call 972-535-5646. BBB accredited with an A-plus rating.
OCCC license is 54486 and MLS ID 898883. Your tax office may offer delinquent tax installment plans that may be less costly to you. You can request information about the availability of these plans from the tax office.
We are a Texas-owned company, and we don't sell our loans. Call 972-535-5646. Online, texaspropertytaxloans.com. Watch out for imitators. Just call 972-535-5646.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Dallas-Fort Worth? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Dallas-Fort Worth is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-287-7630. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-287-7630. That's 1-800-287-7630.
660 AM. 660 AM. The Answer. 660 AM. TheAnswer.com.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatis, right here on 660 AM The Answer.
Hello, and welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. I usually have to whine at this point in the show that this is the absolutely shortest 2 hours of my week. I always feel like I want someone to invent some kind of crazy time machine that gives me more than 2 hours within this 2 hours, but I can't do that as far as I know.
You could talk faster.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
That's impossible.
That's dangerous. But anyway, so this is our Leading Ladies second hour, and Carrie Kellerman's going to take it away with her story she chose.
Okay, if any of you are on Twitter, you might have seen a hashtag trending for 2 or 3 days. They're called 47 Traitors. They are referring to 47 GOP senators, of which we have 54 at this point in time, who signed a letter to Iran's leaders to warn that the agreement between President Obama and Tehran could be quickly nullified or changed once Obama leaves office. Just for those who don't know, I didn't know this today until I looked it up, but there were 7 Republicans who did not sign this letter to Iran, and they are Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee, Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona, Senator Susan Collins of Maine, Senator Lamar Alexander from Tennessee, Dan Coats of Indiana, Thad Cochran of Mississippi, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. Those are the 7 who did not sign the letter. But basically, the reason you saw the vitriol from the left about this letter is because the message that was underscored in open past the filter of the media to the world, not necessarily to Iran's leaders, not necessarily for Obama's sake, but for everyone's sake, the message was Obama leaves office on January 2017. He does. He leaves office. His presidency will end. Hallelujah. Amen. But it has made them absolutely see spitting mad red. Why? Because Obama wants, in fact, the reason I think Valerie Jarrett of the White House has leaked this Hillary email scandal to the press is because she's not going to continue well enough the things Obama put into place. And there are those that are speculating that once Obama does leave office, that he's going to hang around D.C. and he's going to hold a press conference with all of his buddies in the media to try to undermine anybody who undoes anything that he set in motion.
That certainly could happen. I want to jump in and just say, on these 47 senators, I don't want anyone listening to this show to leave the show thinking that there was something wrong with what these senators did. And I want to put this in a larger, I'm sorry, I jumped in, Carrie.
No, go ahead. Go right ahead.
A larger political, ethical, moral context. And that is this. As America and the world learned listening to Bibi Netanyahu's speech in Congress, and many people knew before the speech, the negotiations with Iran largely involve America capitulating to Iran, agreeing to allow Iran to keep churning their centrifuges, keep creating nuclear fuel, move towards becoming a country with nuclear weapons. They are letting them keep the ICBMs. They are surrendering at every phase, backing off on all of the what used to be our sanctions against them. And the people in the U.S. Senate actually, they were elected by the American people. Yep. They're an actual branch, a portion of the
co-equal branch.
Yeah, yeah, of the government. And when I think America, and especially conservative House members and senators, can see that truly these negotiations are putting Israel and ultimately the free world and America at risk, they have to do something. They've asked, the Senate's tried over and over saying, we want to have a role, we want to weigh in before you sign. And Obama said, no, this is kind of like one of his executive orders on the domestic side, only it's the international side. He said, I'm doing an executive agreement and everybody stay out of it.
And all this letter says is, if that is an executive agreement, that executive agreement can be undone when that executive leaves office,
which is in less than two years.
It's a factual statement. Right. And in 2 years, the other thing I want to say, I've got a quote from Senator Mitch McConnell here, and we need to pat him on the back when he does something well, because it's not very often. But anyway, Obama has been saying for the last 6 years, no deal is better than a bad deal. And Netanyahu, here's his take on it. He says, this is dangerous for Israel, the region, and the world. Why? Because it leaves Iran the ability to produce the necessary material for a nuclear bomb within a few months. And afterwards to produce dozens of nuclear bombs. Okay, so what McConnell says about that is the president is about to make what we believe to be a very bad deal. He clearly doesn't want Congress involved in it at all, and we're worried about it.
And yeah, John Bolton's comment is unprecedented surrender. Unprecedented surrender by our country to Iran, which is, if you haven't been tuned in the show other times to hear it, is the single most dangerous player in the entire Middle East, the one with the most determination to take over that region and crush its enemies.
And even Thomas Sowell recently, this sent chills up my spine when I heard it, but he can foresee a situation in which Obama would surrender the United States to Iran.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what I loved about this was the fact that it was authored by the junior senator from Arkansas, Tom Cotton, one of the newly elected guys that came in, promising to be strong, fighting conservative. I think with this letter, he's delivering on big campaign promise.
Yes, he is.
I loved it that, and what you guys said, is that this letter is announcing to the world and reminding the world that they are a co-equal branch of government. Because in the past, because of McConnell's shenanigans and Boehner's shenanigans, they have really abdicated that role to Obama, and they are reasserting themselves. You know, as a conservative, when I am looking to vote or support or elect a candidate for office, one of the things that I'm very quick to tell them constantly is that, yes, your vote is so important, but just as important, especially as a senator, because there's only 100 of them, your voice is so important in the world, not just in your state or even in America, but in your world. And I get really upset because I feel like there's so many senators that they like to sit back on their votes and say, well, I voted to support, Second Amendment. But, you know, they'll never speak up in a million years.
They don't lead.
Absolutely, they do not lead. And, you know, that's why we have people like Ted Cruz that, the media loves to go after, because he continually speaks out, uses his voice. And this letter, this was 47 Republican senators that used their voice. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
That's
yes,
right.
Pat on the back, GOP.
Yeah. I was going to say, too, for those of you, I do want to say, I respect the idea that the president, generally speaking, in our Constitution, he is in foreign policy is his power. He is a commander in chief. So if this letter had been sent over a minor, minor detail of some negotiation that we wanted to have X number of troops instead of Y or something where it was just minor, then it would be interfering. But this is the single biggest danger facing the world is a nuclear Iran. Bibi Netanyahu brought it out for everyone to see. The senators were waiting, I think probably hoping that President Obama, once exposed, once these negotiations were exposed, would say, okay, maybe we'll get tougher. I think it was their way of saying we have to protect the homeland as much as we can. And, you know, and for those of you who think it was out of line and this is unprecedented, where I think Obama was one that kept saying this is unprecedented.
No, okay, it's not.
A little dealing reality. Yeah,
no,
you
it's
may
not.
Have some of these too, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Speaker Jim Wright. This is a true story dating back. I don't have the year right here, but President Reagan's spokesman criticized. This is back when Reagan was president. Criticized House Speaker Jim Wright on Friday for holding talks with Nicaraguan President Daniel Ortega, saying, quote, we don't know what he's up to, close quote, and he may be undercutting peace efforts in Central America. There are countless examples of Democrats when they were in power and they disagreed with the Republican mm-hmm. president. They spoke right up. They went out of their way. You have some
well,
other
they didn't ones, even right? do, they didn't even do it to openly like the Republican GOP senators
point.
Did. They wrote an open letter to Iran's leaders, but Ted Kennedy went secretly to the Soviet Union.
What's wrong with that?
Do you know? Yeah. Do you know what Ted Kennedy said to the Soviet Union? Neither
no.
do I.
Yeah.
And neither did the rest of us because it wasn't an open letter.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, we had, remember Baghdad Bob? Remember Bob McDermott that went
yep.
that went over and met with Saddam Hussein right before we launched and went shock and awe on Iran. We had our very own representatives going over to Iran, you know, trying to encourage them and, you know, help them and stand by them. You know, I mean, we have so many examples. I mean, not even just elected officials, but you know, these brilliant entertainers like Sean Penn, you know, what a brilliant guy, going to Venezuela and talking about how great Hugo Chavez is, and Michael Moore going down to Cuba and talking about the greatness of their healthcare. So we have example after example mm-hmm. after example of people
yeah.
going overseas.
We certainly have the Hollywood types, and we have even more talking about actually elected officials, extremely parallel to what our
That's
senators
right.
did. As you say, Carrie, we did it openly.
Yep, we did. And, there's an author named John Eldridge I enjoy reading. He has a quote, "The way a person gets angry and what they get angry about is a real clue to their inner world." I just found it so instructive to see the anger from the left mm-hmm. about this GOP
yeah.
letter. It really kind of, at first it kind of surprised me, and I thought, what exactly are they angry about? They're angry at the transparency of it all. They are so secretive. They're so covert. And when a They
yeah.
when the GOP goes around the media, sends out a letter, it exposed Obama for the weak leader that you can't even call him a leader, just the weak person as he is. It exposed that, and that
well,
made them angry.
I think also it's so rare for anyone in the GOP to step forward and do
yes.
something.
Right.
Shock. Oh, well, we've been
yeah.
finger
well,
painting with pastels,
well,
and this was a bold line in the sand, and I think that also made them angry.
It really was. We've gone slightly long in this segment, but I'm so glad we brought this up, and I really encourage you, if you're listening, read up on this stuff. Don't get sucked in by the media trying to say that this has been the most egregious, outrageous thing. This was elected Republican senators standing up for what they said they would do, which is protect America. So this is Debbie Georgiadis, Carrie Kellerman, Lori Medina. Come on back for, sadly, our last segment. Come on back after the break to Ladies Can We Talk.
660 AM, The Answer. 660 AM, TheAnswer.com.
Did you hear about the German and French heads of state flying off to meet with Russia's Vladimir Putin in an effort to prevent the crisis in the Ukraine from spiraling out of control? Can you remember the last time America was not at the table when a global hotspot threatened to turn into a world war? Does anyone really think America's absence is leading to a safer world? I sure don't. The world is desperate for strong American leadership, but everyone now recognizes it's just not going to come from this president. Are we all just helpless bystanders in this fundamental transformation we never asked for? Debbie Georgiadis here, your host on Ladies Can We Talk. In Texas, we don't do helpless. On my show, we talk about standing up to save this great nation. Join the fight and tune in every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. We speak up for America.
Hey, it's Mark Davis from my friends at Good Feet. Have you heard that walking is one of the best exercises you can do? It's true. Walk a lot and live a long life. Yeah, but what if your feet hurt with every step? That's not good. That's no way to live. At Good Feet, America's number one arch support, they can get you pain-free today. 888-660-0942 to learn more. Go to goodfeetdfw.com. There's a Fort Worth location and a Plano location, and at both, they're going to take the time to take your situation and see what's the best way to get you out of pain today or help you walk farther without pain and fatigue. today with America's number one arch support. 888-660-0942 to call them. Visit them in Fort Worth, one block south of I-20 at Bryan Irvin, or in Plano at the corner of Coit and George Bush in front of Central Market. I love mine. You'll love yours. You'll love walking pain-free with Good Feet, America's number one arch support. GoodFeetDFW.com. Call them at 888-660-0942, 888-660-0942, or GoodFeetDFW.com.
We are visiting our friend, Chef Tom Fleming at Crossroads Diner. What do you have cooking today, Tom?
We've talked before, and it's great to talk to you again. Let me ask you a question. When you're going to those other breakfast places, are they making stuff in-house? You should ask them. Because at the Crossroads Diner, well, we make a lot of things in-house. You might ask, what? Well, let me help you. Well, there's the sticky buns, our homemade pancake mix, our whole wheat pancake mix, biscuits made in-house, sauces made from scratch, jams and jellies, our chorizo, Italian sausage, our quiche. I could go on and on. But really, you just need to ask the other guys, are they doing that? Because I don't think they are, but know that we are.
Come eat with us. We're off of Walnut Hill, just east of 75. Open for breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Sunday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Or visit us on the web at crossroads-diner.com. Homestyle goodness meets traditional diner. Great recipes, fresh ingredients, comfortable environment, and genuine hospitality are the heart and soul of Crossroads Diner. We'll be waiting for you.
Pop, your tooth just broke. You're 1,000 miles from your regular dentist, so this is going to cost a small fortune. But not if you have the Dental and Vision Plus plan from MyDiscountHealth.com. Get discounts of 5 to 60% at participating providers all over the U.S. Save on routine exams, cleanings, even major work like dentures and root canals. Plus, this plan comes with discounts on prescription drugs, eyeglasses, and more, all for less than $13 per month. Medicare doesn't cover dental work, so this is perfect for you. Learn more. Call 844-450-2273. That's 844-450-2273. This plan is not insurance. Members pay participating providers directly and receive discounts immediately. Savings will vary by provider and service. Cancel within 30 days and get a full refund, less processing fee. Discount Medical Plan Organization is Carrington International Corp., Frisco, Texas. This plan is not available in all areas. Call 844-450-2273. That's 844-450-2273.
660 AM, The Answer.
Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello, and welcome back to our final segment in Ladies Can We Talk on Sunday evening. We have our leading ladies who join me each week. I'm so happy they're here. In the last segment, we just tried a quick turn to. We try to make it a little more, because this has been a heavy show, I would say. Someone just texted me, kind of heavy. So had a lot of serious things. So anyway, talk about tweets of the week, quotes of the week, things that grabbed us. So I don't know who wants to go first.
I'll go. I remember Ronald Reagan saying the most dangerous words in the English language were, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Yeah.
That government is not the solution to your problems. Government is the problem. Well, there is a Gallup poll out this week that actually says that a majority of Americans say that government is America's number one problem. And that is fantastic. That means that the majority of Americans agree with Ronald Reagan and agree with the conservative message that the government is not the solution to your problems. Sometimes it can make more problems than it solves.
Amen to that.
Okay, yeah. I've got three quick ones. and mine are a little bit lighter, especially to them. Okay, my first one is Valerie Jarrett came out this week in an interview and told people, you know, because people say, what do you actually do? And so she said in a quote, she said, my job is to be Obama's friend.
So in other words, he's paying her to be his friend?
Yeah, he's a payer to have friends, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so my second one. Okay, I know. My second one is, and this is really cool. Bristol Palin, daughter of Sarah Palin. You remember she was the gal. She was on like Dance with the Stars, and she's I don't know. But anyway, she's really turned out to be a lovely young gal.
Yeah.
And she's raising a single mom. Well, anyway, she's engaged, and she's engaged to that Medal of Honor winner, Dakota Meyer.
Oh, nice.
So, okay. So a good friend of mine who has a radio show in Wichita, Joseph Ashby, I have to quote him because this is such a great quote. He said, Bristol Palin is engaged to a Medal of Honor recipient. They're going to have the most American babies ever.
Yeah.
Okay. Good, yeah. So my final quote, and this is from my friend, Texas Supreme Court Justice Don Willett. If you don't follow him on Twitter, you should, because he's absolutely hilarious. But anyway, he took his daughter to go see Cinderella, and he said, this is a quote. Daddy, the Cinderella movie proves that having the right pair of shoes will change your life. So I'm so glad his daughter agrees with me. Shoes That's right. always make your life better.
That's right. Okay, well, I want to share some, and these are jumping all over the place, but they were just kind of fun things that jumped out. So this week, Trey Gowdy, who is probably everyone knows who Trey Gowdy is, but he is the chair of the House Select Committee in Benghazi, speaking about trying to dig in to get Hillary's emails, which of course are missing and many of them destroyed, and says she says we can never have access to.
Vince Foster and, has them.
Yeah, there you go. But
sorry.
Anyway, he's talking about how, you know, she got to decide which emails were relevant or not and hold them back. And he said, one thing that's clear is that we don't get to grade our own papers in life. It's like, it was really good. Hillary's, so you know, she doesn't get to decide which emails. Mm-hmm. And then I want to tell you, there was this a really good kind of feel-good America story I want to share in this. I know we're going to run out of time before I get, so I'll talk very quickly, but this man in Durham, South Carolina, North Carolina, wherever it is, he does all these things called about the butterfly effect. He talks about how there's this idea that a butterfly flapping its wings anywhere in the world, you know, it has a ripple effect, has a consequence, and who knows what it leads to around the world. So he sat down in a local diner and gave these two girls at the next table, sisters, they were like 12 and 10 years old, gave them each $50 and just said, go do something good with this. So he didn't know them. So they went off. He didn't know if he'd ever hear from them again until he got an email. And the email showed a village in Sierra Leone that had been ravaged by Ebola, and the villagers were celebrating a feast. These girls knew about this village in Sierra Leone because their dad had been there in the Foreign Service or something, so they knew about the village. They put on a feast over there to help the people celebrate that they had actually cleared, the entire village was cleared of Ebola. They had eradicated Ebola in there. So they created a feast with this money, and then they sent an email with a picture of these people holding up thank you.
That's fantastic.
It's such a sweet story. Thank you to him. I don't have his name right in front of me, but anyway, he told that story, which is very touching, which goes to one thing I try to say so often in the show. America is a good, good country made of good, good people. And then I'll tell you, we have time for one more other quick one. Just to tell you that Paul Krugman, the liberal New York Times columnist and just completely obnoxious liberal in every way, advocates big government, loves big government. He's been whining recently about the pizza companies in America, because they managed to avoid regulation in terms of putting how many calories were in each slice of pizza, something he's mad about. He just wants nanny state everywhere. So our nanny state update, Krugman's complaining about this, that pizza company owners donate to Republicans more than Democrats. Well, duh. They vote
what
for the people.
What does he have against Papa John? That's what I'd like to. Everybody knows Papa John.
These pizza company owners are saying, yeah, we actually don't want to be regulated out of business. That's why we support smaller government. But anyway, the ending quote of this long thing Krugman wrote, which says it all, he says, Krugman writes this article whining about pizza companies and donating. He says, pizza partisanship then sounds like a joke, but it isn't. It is instead a case study in the toxic mix of big money, blind ideology, and popular prejudices that is making America ever less governable. There you go. What he's saying is, how come we can't control every little thing in everybody's lives? And that's what he's complaining about. That's the whole story. So those are our little quotes and tweets of the week. And, you know, we're getting very near the end of our time. So I want to wrap up the show, as I try to every week, to first of all, thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. Thank you for the emails I get encouraging and offering ideas. My email address is ladiescanwetalk@gmail.com. I love your comments and suggestions. I want to thank our guests this week, Carly Fiorina. Thank you for calling in. And Ronan Cheval, two great interviews. And thank you to both of my co-hosts and buddies here tonight who joined us. I want to give you their Twitter handles also. Carrie Kellerman is at Party Girl, like P-A-R-T-E-A girl. And Lori Medina is at TX Tea Party Mom. And so those are their Twitter handles. Mine is Debbie Can We Talk, at Debbie Can We Talk. So follow us on Twitter. We'd love to have you communicate with us. I also want to thank Catherine for working the boards tonight with all these complicated instructions with our call-in messages. I appreciate that very, very much. And I really just, I want to say, I often say this message at the start of our show, and I didn't get a chance to tonight because I jumped in quickly, but this show is really all about the idea of speaking up for America. The book that I wrote has the same name of this show. It's called Ladies Can We Talk. It's on Amazon, and it's on Amazon in English and Spanish, on ebook. And I still get speaking engagements all the time. I talk to groups of all kinds. I'd love to talk to your group. I've talks coming up in a variety of places around the country and variety of kinds of groups. I love just speaking about and talking about and just praising America, because in case any of you are not aware, America truly is exceptional. It is the gift to the world that Ronen Chaval was talking about when he called in from Israel. It is the it's just a beacon of hope for the world, and everyone who knows what America is needs to stand up and speak up and protect it. And where I'm speaking this coming week is actually Frisco Area Republican Women coming up on Thursday. So this is Debbie Georgiadis and Carrie Kellerman, Lori Medina, and Ladies Can We Talk. Please tune in every Sunday night from 6 to 8 p.m. And thank you for tuning in tonight.
Thank you for listening to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis. To learn more or to contact us, go to ladiescanwetalk.org. And be sure to join us every Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on 660 AM The Answer.
Hi, this is Debbie Georgiadis. You know, ladies, most of us are pretty good at talking about lots of things, and I want to encourage us to talk more about America's future. Most Americans say that they're concerned about the direction of our country, but feel that they don't know what to do to help and that they're not really informed enough to speak up. Well, here are two ways you can help America. Get involved in organizations that are standing up for liberty and America. Also, speak up more in your daily lives about the goodness of America and the American people. Because political opinion is shaped not only by politicians, but by the conversations in our daily lives among friends, colleagues, and in schools, neighborhood, and church organizations, and literally thousands of other day-to-day interactions. Tune in to Ladies Can We Talk Sundays at 7 a.m., and I'll explain more. Speak up for America.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Dallas-Fort Worth? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Dallas-Fort Worth is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth within